Had I not been so self-centered and concerned with my own reputation, I would be a king here. I was called to sit on one of the highest thrones. All that you have and will accomplish would have been in my heavenly account as well. Instead, much of what I gave my attention to was of very little eternal significance. What you accomplished was astounding, I interjected. What looks good on earth looks very different here. What will make you a king on earth will often be a stumbling block to keep you from being a king here. What will make you a king here is lowly and unacclaimed on earth. I failed some of the greatest tests and greatest opportunities that were given to me, one of which was you. Will you forgive me?
Of course, I said, embarrassed.
But I am in need of your forgiveness, too. I still think that it was my awkwardness and rebellion that made it difficult for you. In fact, I too have failed to let some people get close to me who wanted to, for the same reasons you did not want me around you. It is true that you were not perfect, he replied, and I discerned some of your problems rightly. Yet, that is never reason to reject someone. The Lord did not reject the world when he saw its failures. He did not reject me when he saw my sin. He laid down his life for me. It is always the greater who must lay down his life for the lesser. Even though I was more mature and had more authority than you, I became like one of the goats in the parable, rejecting the Lord by rejecting you and many others he sent to me. As he talked, his words were striking me deeply. I too was guilty of everything he mentioned. Passing through my mind were the faces of many young men and women I had brushed off as not being important enough for my time. I desperately wanted to return and gather them together. The grief that I began to feel was even worse than I had felt about wasting my time. I had wasted people. Now, many of these were prisoners of the enemy, wounded and captured during the battle on the mountain. This whole battle was for the people, and yet people are often our least concern. We will fight for truths more than for the people for whom the truths are given. We will fight for ministries while running roughshod over the people in them. And many people think of me as a spiritual leader. I am truly the least of the saints, I thought out loud. The enemy of the gospel. I understand how you feel, remarked another man. I recognized him as someone I considered one of the greatest Christian leaders of all time. Near the end of his life, Paul the Apostle said he was the least of the saints. Then, just before his death, he even called himself the greatest of sinners. If he hadn't learned that lesson during his life on earth, he, too, would have been in jeopardy of becoming one of the least of the saints in heaven. Because he learned it on earth, he is now one of those closest to the Lord, and will be one of the highest in rank for all eternity. Seeing this man in the company of the foolish virgins was the greatest surprise I had yet. I cannot believe that you, too, are one of the foolish who slept away their lives on earth. Why are you here? I am here because I made one of the gravest mistakes you can make as one entrusted with the glorious gospel of our Savior, he answered. Just as the Apostle Paul progressed from not considering himself inferior to the greatest apostles to being the greatest of sinners, I took the opposite course. I started out knowing that I had been one of the greatest of sinners who had found grace, but ended up thinking I was one of the greatest apostles. It was because of my great pride, not insecurity like our friend here, that I began to attack everyone who did not see everything just the way I did. I stripped those who followed me of their own callings and even their personalities, pressuring them to all become just like me. No one around me could be himself. No one dared to question me, because they knew I would crush them into powder. I thought that by making others smaller, I made myself greater. I thought that I was supposed to be the Holy Spirit to everyone. From the outside, my ministry looked like a smooth-running machine where everyone was in unity and there was perfect order. But it was the order of a concentration camp. I took the Lord's children and made them automatons. I molded them into my own image instead of his. In the end, I was not even serving the Lord, but rather the idol I had built to myself. By the end of my life,